We turn now to Iraq's neighbors. Six countries encircle Iraq, save a small piece of coastline along the Persian Gulf. Moving around the country as if it were a clock face, they are Iran, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Syria, and Turkey. Yesterday we talked about the first three and their feelings about the looming war with Iraq. Today we turn to the remaining three, and we begin with Jordan. Robert Pelletreau was Assistant Secretary of State for Near Eastern Affairs in the Clinton administration. He says that over the past decade or so, Jordan's relations with Iraq have deteriorated.
We probably see in Jordan the biggest change from 1990-1991, when Jordan was actually out of the conflict. King Hussein was, at that time, was in a form of alliance with Iraq. Jordan is a small, relatively weak country surrounded by stronger neighbors. Jordan is a relatively poor country. It hasn't discovered domestic oil, even though oil is in the countries around it. It has relied primarily on Iraq for its oil. Jordan has also been a safety valve for Iraq, in that the major highway in and out of Iraq has gone from Baghdad across the desert into Jordan, and that's where a lot of supplies have gone in the other direction, too.
You've noted that many countries in the region view the United States as being a very pro-Israeli government. Jordan has a large Palestinian population. Does that complicate things for King Abdullah?
Yes, it does. It is a daily fact of life for King Abdullah that a majority of his own population is of Palestinian origin. And even though Jordan has itself signed a peace treaty with Israel, Jordan is perhaps the foremost promoter in the region of peace between Palestinians and Israelis, because until such a peace occurs, the Jordanian-Palestinian population is going to be torn, and is certainly today views the United States as not pulling its oar, not being helpful in bringing about that peaceful situation that certainly Palestinian Jordanians very much desire.
Let's move along the clock face, and we'll just move slightly north to Syria, which I guess would be at about 11 o'clock now.
Right.
Can you give us a quick snapshot of Syria?
Syria is almost the best balanced country in the Middle East economically, because it does not have a population that's too large for its water and land resources. It's got a diversified economy. But at the same time, Syria has suffered, in my view, from years and years of Ba'ath Party domination, and the Syrians consequently have not taken the full step into the modern era. Syria is decades behind Jordan next door, or Saudi Arabia even. Here's a country of maybe 16 million people that actually has quite a significant shift itself since the Gulf War of 1990-91, when Hafez al-Assad became part of the international coalition. Right now, President Bashar al-Assad has stated that Syria is not going to be part of this war at all. They're going to stay out of it, and that certainly accords with Syrian popular opinion.
Syria is on the State Department's list of countries that sponsor terrorism.
That is correct.
If a war in Iraq stokes the fires of anger in Syria, is that a particular concern for the U.S.?
Not too much, I don't think. Syria is on the terrorism list, not because Syria itself is involved in terrorism, but because it supports and provides shelter to Palestinian terrorist groups. And that is a negative aspect of the whole Arab-Israel problem. I would not expect that in open conflict we'd have Syria moving into a seriously more anti-U.S. posture.
We're going to move north again on our clock face, and I guess we would get to almost about 11:59, and there we would see Turkey. Why don't you begin by giving us a snapshot of that country?
Well, Turkey is a modernized Muslim country. It is not Arab. In fact, there's a good deal of traditional animosity that has existed between Turks and Arabs, as the Ottoman Empire, up until World War I, provided Turkish domination over much of the Arab region. Turkey also has a significant Kurdish population, and one of its primary concerns is that the Iraqi Kurdish population might gain the start of an independence movement that would spread into Turkey as well.
What happened along the Iraqi-Turkish border in the 1991 Gulf War?
1991 Gulf War, right after the war, the Kurds rose up and rebelled. The Iraqi government from Baghdad put down that rebellion with a very strong military presence, caused a lot of Kurdish refugees to flow into Turkey, which was a nightmare for Turkey. They don't want to see that sort of thing happening again.
The United States has said that military action in Iraq would be swift, but the effects of war continue long after the bombs stop dropping.
Quite right.
Long after the peace treaties are signed, if there are any. So, 10 years from now, if we look at this region, would it likely look very different than it does now?
Well, I tend to doubt that it is going to look very different, but it could look quite a bit more promising. If a quick victory in Iraq leads to a successor government that quickly restores order and begins to rebuild the country in a positive way, if a successful quick campaign in Iraq leads to a new effort on the Palestinian-Israeli front, then we could see some positive change. We could see the Arab world moving more to become part of the international economy, and we could see the seeds of a gradually democratizing society being successfully planted. But that's a lot of ifs.
Ambassador Pelletreau, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Robert Pelletreau was Assistant Secretary of State for Near Eastern Affairs in the Clinton administration.